My name's Steve Lacey. I'm a graphics engine lead on Microsoft Flight Simulator. We're going to go on a little tour through our little abode down here, over in Redmond, and you can see what we're up to.
And you're a dev?
I'm a dev.
You're a geek?
I'm a geek.
All right. We got the right guy to give us the flight sim tour. So, take us on a little tour, because you guys have actually one of the cooler offices, with artwork. I mean, around us here, there's neat signs on the walls from previous versions of Flight Sim. There's maps, and over on the other side, I saw some prototypes of stuff.
Yeah, we tend to collect a lot. We've been around for a while, so we have a lot of stuff. You can see down there, some 1988 award from PC World.
Yeah.
Up here, we got these are some aeronautical charts from basically from West Coast to the East Coast. Mainly, I think this was when we do a show in Oshkosh, which is a national, it's the EAA's Experimental Aircraft Association show.
That's in Chicago, right, every year?
Sure
it's a big, everywhere. Famous place.
Yeah,
famous show for somewhere in the middle of the map. Right?
And we were looking what it was like to actually plan the flight across there. So we can continue down.
Yeah, come on.
Some various
now Flight Sim is actually one of Microsoft's oldest products, right?
Right.
It's been around since the early 80s.
I'm not exactly
yeah,
sure
it was,
when Microsoft first started publishing it, when it was actually BAO.
One of my friends, Lee Thay, had a Flight Sim 1 box, and it was the mid-85 or 88, somewhere in there. And was a Microsoft product.
Yeah, there's tons. We used to be on a bunch of platforms, and you can see the old Sublogic brands. Some of the stuff we've got over the years.
Yeah. Hey, there's my favorite product, Train Simulator. And it was done by the same group, by the way.
By the same group.
Excellent.
Same group, Combat Flight Sim and Train Sim and Flight Sim.
Great.
Wandering down, we've got the PUMS office, which is obviously not in there.
Now, how big a group is it that works on Flight Sim?
I believe the team's about 60 people in total.
60
or 70 people in total.
So that's a pretty big software company. I mean, there's some software. I used to work for a software company with only 7 people, right?
Well, we've got a lot of tests. There's around 14, 15 developers on the project. A lot of artists, subject matter experts. UE people write all the wonderful text in the product, the learning center.
Now, if I remember right, because I got to meet some of the guys who were doing the audio for Flight Sim,
mm-hmm.
they actually take microphones out and record real planes,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, they mic out the engines, the cowling, everywhere. And it's pretty incredible what those guys do. We have a whole bunch of internal tools that take all that audio and mix it together in real time so that you've got the sounds from the engine spluttering all the way up through the turbines running.
Right.
It's pretty impressive stuff.
Now, how is it different working as a dev on a product like that with audio and DirectX animations? And
mm-hmm. It's interesting. We have a lot of stuff to think about. I mean, we have artists on the team, a large amount of artists on the team, which the typical non-multimedia style product just wouldn't have. There are a lot of different disciplines we have to deal with.
Yeah.
We've got people who aren't maybe not necessarily the most technical savvy sort of people.
Yeah.
And part of our job is to build the tools that enable them to do their job as effectively as possible.
Okay.
We write a lot of plugins for our packages like Maya and Max for Photoshop, and we pull huge amounts of data into the product. I thought I'd introduce you to Victor, who's our dev lead.
Great. Hi, Victor.
Hey there.
So I'm with Channel 9, which is a developer show on Microsoft, MSDN.com.
All right.
What do you do?
What do I do?
You have a tablet PC. I love a tablet PC. So do you write code, or do you make him write it all?
Hey, I turned in the keys to the code base a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I end up...
Let me get over here so the lighting's a little bit better.
Sure.
Sorry.
What I end up doing is managing the the talents of all the developers on the team, making sure everyone is working in a coordinated fashion,
right.
And make sure we're all going in the right direction.
Now, I asked on my weblog, what was the philosophy of the products that I've, and Steve wrote back, it's as real as it gets. What does that mean? When you guys come up with new features or you know the vision for the next product, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, as real as it gets is our tagline, and we try to, and as a simulator, we try to stay as true to that as possible. Okay. What that means to us is that we take the world of aviation, we take the world itself that we're trying to simulate, and make it as realistic of a depiction as possible for our users.
Right.
But of course, we've got to balance that against the allotted time and the number of people we have to put the next version out the door.
Right.
So a lot of what ends up happening is we take a look at the ideas that we want to put into the next version, prioritize them against each other, and figure out which ones make the most sense, which ones give us the biggest bang for the buck.
So is it coming up with new aircraft? Is that the kinds of things you worry about, or are you really worried on the performance? And I mean, what's your day-to-day like? I mean, Flight Simulator is quite a bit different than the world I hang out with on the main campus.
Right.
You know, talking with the Visual Studio guys who worry about user interface.
Well, there's a lot of different aspects to Flight Simulator that have to be integrated together. I mean, you talk a little bit about the aircraft and the flight models, and we've got a dedicated team putting together the aircraft models and the way that they fly. One of the nice things about the Flight Simulator architecture is that it's primarily written to be data-driven. So a lot of the individual pieces can come in somewhat componentized. So the people who are working on the flight models know that, say, for instance, weather or scenery is going to exist in the simulation, but we've written it in such a way that the development of those other areas can happen in somewhat independently of each other.
Right.
Which also extends nicely to our ability to open up the architecture to our third-party community,
okay.
Which is really pretty strong as well.
Very strong.
They've
got. What are some of the best communities out there? What are some of the websites that you're?
Avsim.com is a pretty strong community.
Right.
They have both forums to discuss scenery, aircraft models, flight simulator in general, and they also have a pretty extensive download library.
Yeah.
So you can go up there, and if you can't find your favorite aircraft in the box that we ship, it most likely somebody else will have developed it and put it up on the web for you.
And I know a couple of these people who help run these sites. They're pretty hardcore, aren't they? They're out there doing the same audio capture that you guys do.
Absolutely.
And they really are fanatics about the detail on the plane and everything, how it handles and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. It runs the gamut, too. I mean, you've got the guys who are mostly interested, hey, you know, I just want to put my aircraft or my house in the simulator.
Right.
And we offer the tools to do that. But then you've got the guys who are out there who want to make a business out.
Yeah.
So they are, you know, they've got a staff of developers, they've got a staff of artists. Gathering research, putting together the models that will work on top of Flight Simulator.
Now, how do you guys get the modeling right, the physics? You know, because the 747 is supposed to,
we'll talk to Boeing, and we get flight data from them, specs, any and all documentation that we can get from them, that we get, and we aim to make it as true as it absolutely can be. And
right.
A lot of times, I believe those guys try it out and validate it. In fact, I believe during the FS 2000, when we had the Concorde in the product, one of the BA captains, we were working closely with them, and he would validate our flight models for
wow.
us.
And how many variables do you have to play with on a plane? I mean, do you...
Oh, that would be a question for Mike. lots. It's a big table. The aero side of things isn't really my speciality. But I'm sure we can probably find someone that can answer that question.
Oh, okay. What's the funnest part of working on Flight Sim?
The best part of working on Flight Sim?
Do you get to play Flight Sim all day long?
No.
I mean, that's when my son. I got my son a tour of the Xbox game room here, or the Xbox team, and
mm-hmm.
he said, "Oh, I want a job here because I get to play video games all day long." And I go, "No, it's not quite like, you know,
Well, you do get a lot of time in Flight Simulator, that's for sure. But I think the best part about working on the Flight Simulator team is the variety of people you get to work with. You talk, you know, at Microsoft, the typical group is developers, testers, program managers. But on the Flight Simulator team, you're also talking to aeronautical engineers. You've got artists in the mix, product specialists, writers. You just get to talk to so many different types of people and have so many different types of experiences.
Wow. Do you guys go out in planes, in real planes? And
oh, absolutely. In fact, there are quite a few numbers of pilots on the team with their, with their own aircraft. Quite a few of them are, in fact, flight instructors as well. So, on a nice day, we can go up and do some field research.
Yeah. In fact, our biz dev guy is actually an ex-airline pilot.
Really? Have you guys ever gotten to fly up front in a 747 or anything like that? Or
I haven't, but a bunch of people have. It's a really cool thing. You take along a copy of Flight Sim and say, I work on the Flight Simulator team, and they'll, well, pre-9/11, you could generally do that.
Yeah.
That doesn't really happen these days anymore.
We have had a chance to go right into Boeing's facilities and have some time in their full motion simulators as well.
Interesting.
Their graphics aren't quite up to par.
Really?
To,
so your graphics are better, but they got the motion.
But they've got the motion, and they've got a lot more access to their plane's aeronautical data.
Okay. So you're...
They spend more on it as well.
Really?
Yeah, theirs costs a bit more than $50.
Yeah. Now, I've been at some computer shows, and I've seen people take your product and put it on like 18 screen or 13 screens or something like that. So you, how many screens can you hook up together?
We support multi-monitor fully. So I believe we support out-of-the-box up to 5.
Yeah.
But there are some third-party guys out there that have been, you know, talking the multiplayer to our multiplayer stream and, like, looking up multiple copies of Flight Sim on multiple computers and having them all synced together. There's some clever guys out there in the community.
Right. Have you guys started building a multiplayer or so that I can,
you can do that.
I can talk to you. Yeah, really? So can I fly a plane right next to some other guy who's flying a plane somewhere else in the world?
Yeah.
Over the internet, or does he have to be in the same
zone? You can do. Zone does matchmaking for Flight Sim, you can just get together with your buddy and fly. In fact, our UX guys, they like flying, flying multiplayer and doing like flying information stuff. It's like air show sort of things.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Cool. So you want to continue on? Thank continue you very much. It's been an honor meeting you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Cool.
More developers.
Hey, we like developers. so what kind of tools do you use? Like
C++? Yeah. So pretty much the entire product is in C++. There's some sprinklings of assembly here and there for performance stuff, mainly in the graphics code.
Right.
C++, we use .NET a lot for our tools.
Right.
Really? Yeah.
Is there any C# code in the product?
Yeah. Oh, not in the product.
Not in the product.
In our tools.
Oh, so in the modeling tools that you're using?
Yeah, our exporters, model converters and things. Hey, I wonder if we can talk to Gene.
I bet you could.
Hi, this is Gene. Gene runs our Geo team, and he effectively owns the massive amounts of data that are source material for, like,
data like this over on the door. All of our aeronautical data, it all comes from a company called Jeppesen, diagrams of what's at an airport, things such as approaches to an airport, airways between airports, and in general, any information associated with any sort of airport. So all of that we get from an external supplier, and we have to integrate it and manage it for all 26,000 airports in the world.
Now, do you actually go out to the airports and study, physically there?
We wish we were able to do that, but no. Instead, we rely on Jeppesen, to whom we pay a lot of money to do that for us.
Right.
And then we just take the data and massage it and do QA on it and get it so that it looks good in the game and so it's correct.
Now, if you're flying into San Francisco International Airport,
mm-hmm.
and a new tower in the real Air Force shows up, do your customers start writing you and say, hey, there's something?
Yes, they do.
I know these customers.
Our customers want.
I used to be one of these guys.
To be right.
Yeah.
Yes, their little airport, and there seems to be a customer for every one of the 26,000 airports in the world. So, yeah.
You have 26,000 airports in the product?
26,000, yeah.
Wow.
And then that's just the airports, and there's all of the other data in the environment. All of the things that you see when you're flying around in the world. So the mountains have to come from somewhere. So do the rivers and the lakes and the roads, railroads, utility lines, all of that has to come from somewhere.
Now how much of that is actually real? Because I know...
All of it's real. Everything...
The mountains are, but do you actually accurately plot on the ground as you're flying over real satellite photo data or something?
No, what we do is we take real information on what's on the ground. So is this, for instance, cropland, or is it an urban area, or is it a boreal forest? And then based on that information, we put a texture on top of it, which simulates what that looks like from the air.
Wow. And architecturally, if I was to look underneath the coat at that, what is that like? I mean, how does it compare to something, you know, I mean, because most of the people hanging out on Channel 9 are, you know, building business that happens with C Sharp.
Ah,
I mean,
yes.
Okay. I mean, how can you describe what it's like to build C, you know, build
well,
a flight sim?
I actually, because I deal with all of the tools and the database that builds and maintains the data.
Yeah.
And then the process that exports it to the runtime format that the game uses.
Right.
Actually, Adam, who's across the hall, is the guy who takes what I give him, all of the data about the world, and then renders the world so that it looks cool.
Interesting.
And Adam looks like he's just waiting to talk to you.
All right. Well, thank you. It's an honor meeting you.
Okay, well,
thank you very much. So are we going over to meet Adam?
This is Adam.
There I go. Get the name. I know how to spell your name. Wow,
I wish I had pretty pictures like Gene to show you.
Oh, you have nice maps and stuff, though.
Oh.
I mean,
yeah.
You have some really neat flights.
Adam's one of the pilots on the team.
Okay. So, how real is it, since you're the first pilot I've talked to?
Of course it's as real as it
can be.
specifically, how real is it? Well,
yeah. Give me some comparison. If I was in a real plane and compared it to a flight sim, what would I notice that might be different?
Well, let's see. It's probably a lot easier to see airports in the game than in real life. Real life is just harder in that respect. So, but other than that, it's extremely realistic. I mean,
do you still get scared when your engine cuts out?
I'm not going to show you the stains on my chair. But yeah, sure. I mean, yeah. It can get pretty tense. I mean, it's very immersive. You got the weather and the clouds all around you, and if you're flying at sunset, it's just beautiful, you know, with the glow from the sun on the mountains and
right.
In the cities and everything and off the aircraft.
Now, how much time do they really give you to play flight sim here?
Are they
real taskmasters here? Do they make you do real work, or do they give you 20% of your time?
There's plenty of real work to do, but I mean, part of our work is testing out the changes that we've made to the game. So we do run the game a lot.
Now, how do you deal with the massive amount? I mean, how many airports do you think?
26,000.
26,000. How big a data set is that when you get it? I mean, how many megabytes or gigabytes is it?
We fill up all four CDs.
Yes, easily.
And that's probably compressed, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when it comes across the hall, it's a few megabytes, a few hundred megabytes probably, at least.
Adam's main focus is where the how the actual ground looks, the actual terrain engine itself, which is a really, really complex problem. And does a pretty good job of it as well.
Now when I was flying Flight Sim, it would actually sort of go ahead and sort of lay down Earth ahead of you. Is that how the algorithm works, how the system works?
I mean, it'll work better. The faster machine you have, the better it'll do at keeping up with, you know, as you move through the world. But we try to keep the frame rate high and load as much data as we can, as quick as we can, but we have to balance the two.
Right.
So if you have a lower performing machine, you know, we want to keep your frame rate up, we might lower the amount of data that we load in.
Tell me about some of the trends in video cards that's been affecting the teams.
Well, he's kind of the expert on that, I would have to say.
Oh, really?
Video cards. When we first went hardware, we first supported 3D hardware, which was back in Flight Sim 98, I think. I mean, you're talking like 4 or 5 megabytes of video memory, and now I think it's 128 meg, 256 meg standard. You know, I think I've got a machine at home that's got like less main memory than my video card I've got in my my desk kit. But, you know, I mean, part of our job is, like, people expect, like, you know, every time we release a new version of the product that it's going to look better. We're taking as much advantage of the hardware as we can.
Right.
That's great, and we love doing that. I mean, the more we can, like, get the really fancy effects, all sorts of wonderful stuff happening on the terrain and on the objects is great. But we also have to balance that off against the fact that we're a very broad-reach product. So you've got customers that have, you know, 4, 5, 6-year-old machines. In effect, also, you know, one of our minimum system requirements was that you had a piece of 3D hardware of at least, I think it was 8 meg of video RAM in it. So we have to scale from 8 meg all the way up to 256 meg and all the different features that they could have and still give a great experience with a good frame rate for everyone.
Right.
We actually went a bit further in the last rev and also included a software rasterizer as well, so that even though the person bought the product, even though the minimum system requirements weren't met, we could still give them an experience on the product.
Do you work with NVIDIA and ATI then, and the other
video card companies?
Yeah,
most of the game companies you talk to, like, we have a pretty good relationship with those companies, you know, ATI, NVIDIA, everyone else. And obviously, the market shrunk somewhat since, like, about 10 years ago when all these companies were starting up.
But I talked about the smoke coming off the tires when you land the 747. That was a feature added, what, 2 or 3 years ago, right?
I think so. I think it also leaves skid marks on the runway as well.
Is that a feature that came in that generation of video cards, that NVIDIA came out to you and said, hey, here's some smoke?
No, I think we pretty much came up with the ideas, like, it just makes it more real. It's a more realistic experience. A guy who Mike, who builds the sim engine, he knows when that's going to happen depending on how the aircraft's hitting the ground, how the wheels are spinning, and he'll trigger an effect that Art have authored at a particular location.
Right.
So, like Victor was saying, we try to make everything as data-driven as possible. So that's all driven off the models. But we'll try and take advantage of as much of the hardware as we can.
Now, do you work with other parts of Microsoft, like the Longhorn team, who is building, you know, 3D stuff into the operating system?
We've been trying to keep as up to date as possible with what's going on over there, how it'll work in future revisions, what we can take advantage of where. An interesting side of that is, of course, you know, we're going to have to run on Windows XP and Windows 2000 for quite some time now, so we have to balance off okay, how do we make a great experience for these users and then, you know, push the platform as well?
Yeah. Any other fun facts that you'd like to share with your most passionate customers?
Fun facts.
Especially with your job, you know, dealing with such a large amount of data and then trying to make it look good. Any tips for developers that you learned?
Off the top of my head.
Any optimization? You'll patent it first and then you'll put it in there. What do you do? I mean, when the files come to you and you're trying to, what do you do? What's your daily life like?
I have to write an engine that knows how to read those files, load the data that's in them, and display the part that's relevant to wherever you are in the world. So that's what I spend most of my time doing, is trying to figure out the best and most efficient way to render the data that's provided by the geodatabase team.
Wow. That sounds like a fun job.
It is fun.
Anything else? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
That was an honor. Thanks.
Keep wondering. There are some interesting different pictures about the way the world actually is. It's not really a sphere. It's more like that.
Really?
We have to worry about these sort of things. It's kind of interesting.
Cool.
So we're getting more into the realm of art now.
Yeah.
I'll introduce you to our art lead, Jason. Yeah, okay. He's in his office.
Right.
No, he's not. So we can continue down. We've got more art through here.
These are cool posters.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody has a nice little...
Oh yeah, I really like the letters that have been sent to to us. We get lots of letters from kids who design their own airplanes.
That's neat.
It's fun. So we're going to wander around the corner and you can meet some of the test guys if you like.
Yeah, that's
see
cool.
See how they...
That's the job I really want. I just want to test this stuff. And say, hey, I found something that's not as real as it gets.
That's their job when they were doing that.
So who are these guys in here?
A test, okay. Program management. There's more art and tests down here.
Cool.
People all over the place.
Now, are they ever going to do an Xbox version?
I don't know, and I couldn't comment even if I did.
Okay. Cool.
It's also a very different paradigm. I mean, in Flight Sim, you know, we use every key on the keyboard and shifted and control and everything. It'd be very interesting to how to map that to a console-style controller. It's Brent in his office. Yay. This is Brent. He's the test lead on Flight Sim.
We're with Channel 9. If I can get your name there. I'm with Channel 9, channel9.msdn. It's a site for developers.
Oh, cool.
So, just wanted to see your world and what you do.
We test
the world.
That's our job. We have to test the whole wide world, so.
It's nothing secret on your screen.
No, nothing secret on my screen.
So, you got more monitors in here than most employees do, which is really cool.
Yeah, we do a lot of multi-mon, a lot of configuration testing with PC games, plus the fact that we do have to test everything within Flight Sim itself, which is aircraft and the world and weather and time, and we have a lot to test. We're building the Matrix.
So when you, how do you test Flight Sim? I mean, do you just fly around and look for glitches here or there, or do you have?
I mean, we use the standard test engineering methods that most groups use. We have a lot to take into account. Obviously, we have a lot of functionality as well as a lot of content on top of that functionality, because we do try to realistically show the entire world and model it physically realistically. So, to that end, we do a lot of planning, a lot of working with dev, a lot of working with PM and art and user education team, and try to plan our testing just like any other group would, and get good subject matter expert testers on testing airplanes.
Now, when I talked to Sarah Ford, who's a tester on Visual Studio, she's actually writing a lot of tools to automate the test to try to find weaknesses in the product that she couldn't find manually, clicking on one button 50,000 times and then trying to do something to see if there's a weakness in the product.
Absolutely.
Do you do that kind of stuff?
We have a full automation framework built into the product, so we can automate testing pretty much everything a normal product would, DUI. We also have tools that automate testing the world in a sense. We have tools that will go to locations you tell it to, and we have a tool that will actually go to every single airport, which is over 24,000 airports.
So you have this set of cheat codes, basically. I watch my son play games, and he goes to Google and looks for cheat codes to get through the game. You know? So is there really a cheat code to get from San Francisco to Chicago in like a minute and a half or something?
That would be the go-to airport.
Yeah, the go-to airport.
That's the cheat code. We use SLU. When we test the world, we actually use the SLU function, which is you're not actually flying, you're just moving through 3D space.
Okay.
And, a very, very easy way to get from point A to point B quickly without having to fly.
Now, what's the most fun bug you've ever found in Flight Simulator?
Funnest bug I've ever found in Flight
Simulator. I got that question from being at a cocktail party and with a bunch of doctors, and they were talking about fun illnesses. I always wanted to ask. What's a fun bug?
We've had bugs. One of the women that's in our product is Patty Wagstaff. And one of the things with Patty is she changes her hair on a regular basis. So we've actually had bugs that we need to change Patty's hair because now it's short. It used to be long. It used to be brown. Now it's blonde. So that's a fun bug because every time we have to look at that because we model her in the cockpit of her aircraft.
Yeah. She's a famous stunt pilot,
A famous acrobatic pilot. Yeah. Wow. Has won quite a few acrobatics.
Has anybody on the team actually gone up with her while she's doing
this? Yeah. No, really? With her, I don't. Well, Bruce maybe has.
Bruce,
but Bruce has his own extra acrobatic plane. one of the business plan guys.
Is that the morale event, or is that if you don't if you've been bad, you get taken up on the plane? Exactly. Well, I don't know if that's for me. That would be punishment. I'm sure some of you guys would really enjoy it.
For some people, it's been punishment as well. There's a lot of pilots on the team, and we definitely leverage their knowledge as well when we're testing flight simulator to make sure that the planes have the right feel and.
Since you've probably played flight sim more than most humans on the what's the one thing that still turns you on about the product? What's the one thing that still gets you going, man, I love this product?
The new innovations we do on a regular basis are just incredible. Steve's team with the graphics and the fact that we do the whole world, which is incredible. I'm originally from Montana, so I can go into the product and go to my hometown in the middle of nowhere in Montana, and it looks like it does in real life.
Now, can you land at the Chico Hot Springs in Montana? Who has a little private airstrip at?
Yeah, you can land at any private airstrip. We get all the private airstrips from the FAA. So pretty much any private airstrip in the United States and Canada.
That's wild.
Yeah. You can land at all of those.
My mom lives a mile from there in Montana.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can totally land.
People, yeah, his driveway is like a long... There's a landing strip, and people land there. It blew me away because I was driving along, and I had a guy landing right in front of me. I'm like, wow!
Actually, we just got an email the other day from one of the team members, and the email's from my hometown in Montana, where the sheriff's department actually had to stop people from landing on a road outside of a cafe that's really popular because of the danger it was posing to ground traffic. You know, people driving. People were landing on roads there. It's an interesting place to grow up. That's
cool.
Sure.
Anything else you'd like to tell us about? Anything cool that you found in Flight Sim that most people wouldn't know that just got the product? Or?
I think
if you're a new Flight Sim user, what should you check out? What's the first half an hour that you should check out?
Wow.
Push the throttle forward, pull the
speed. Yeah. Go to your hometown. Go to places you know. Go to places you know you recognize. Go to cities you've been to around the world. Yeah. And we really do actually create the whole world. And, you know, look at the getting started stuff if you're new to it. Take the lessons. And you're ready to rock and have a fun time being a pilot at your desk for all intents and purposes.
Cool. Can you put music on in the program? I forgot if you can
play Windows. You can have Windows Media Player in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be playing around with that.
Can you be a passenger in somebody else's plane?
There's the observer mode in
multiplayer. But that's an external view. You're not actually like a passenger. Right. You can watch other. No, not currently.
Okay.
We'll add it to the features.
Cool. Thanks.
It's Hal.
Thank you.
It's Hal Brown.
I believe he is.
Whereabouts is his office?
He's two offices down on the wall.
Okay. More test.
Yeah.
And someone testing something different.
Yeah. And so. Hi there. We're with Channel 9.
I don't like the looks of this.
we're putting you on the strike. On the strike. Hi, I'm Robert Scoble from Channel 9.
Oh,
sorry,
great.
Channel 9.MSN.
Al Brian.
We're just touring around and seeing what people do on the flight sim team. And
yeah, I sit here with the door closed and a messy office.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing today. So,
you have a wing, actually, on your... That's cool.
Yeah, I'm an airplane geek as well as a computer geek.
Hal was down at the first launch of Spaceship One.
Ooh.
That's
right. Yeah, I was invited VIP.
Really?
So, don't misunderstand, I am very important. So I've been on Flight Sim for about 6 years.
Wow.
On a number of different areas. I work on the aircraft team, I've done support on ATC, I've done voice work.
ATC is
the air traffic controller.
Air traffic, because the air traffic controller actually talks to you while you're taxiing around the airport.
So you can hear my voice in the product as a controller, as a pilot of one of computer-generated airplanes. I've worked on weather. Right now we're just in the process. We're about 6 minutes away from an update to Flight Sim 2004 going live. So we've been working on that. Setup.
I see a lot of geek books on your shelf there. C sharp.
Those are all actually blank. but they make me look smart.
Yeah, that's why I have them on my shelf, too.
Something.net, I don't know what any of it is. But it does, that does actually point out something that I think is interesting and is often lost on people about testers specifically, and that is that I can write a little code. If you give me a month, I can give you Hello World. I can screw around in Photoshop, but I can't do what our artists do. I do a little writing, but I'm not as good as our UX guys. But as a tester, I get to work with all these people, and I get to make their work better.
Yep.
And that's, in a nutshell, how I see my job, and hopefully how most people around here see it, rather than just a bunch of complainers.
Yeah.
So.
You are a bunch of whiners. Yeah, the whiners.
It's not good enough.
Yep.
But anyway.
Oh, you're the guy who says it's not as real as it could be, you know? Or...
Yeah, I'm one of them. There's a whole team of us.
Yeah. What are these interesting gadgets here?
This box right here is a navigation and communications radio console from a mid-1930s DC-3. The airplane's on the cover of our package here. Douglas DC-3. We needed one for reference for the 3D model of the aircraft and the instrument panel and cockpit in flights in 2004. We couldn't find any good photo references in books. We couldn't find any in any museums. But we found one on eBay. So we bought it and shot photos of it, and turned the knobs and figured out how all the displays worked and everything else. So when you fire up flights in 2004 and look at that airplane in that cockpit, what you're seeing is based on photos of this. So,
wow.
But it was a really lucky find. We had a lot of good partners for reference and research, and I was involved in a lot of that work. But this was just one thing we couldn't find.
So this is the DC-3 control panel, right?
Yeah, just one piece of it.
Just one piece of it.
The navigation communications radio. So.
Wow.
But it was a great way to really see how it worked and how to model it and everything else.
Now, you obviously go out on real planes then, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of us on the team are pilots, actually.
Yeah.
So, and we went out and flew a lot of airplanes as part of research for Flight Sim in 2004.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun. Yes.
Can you hint at what kind of planes you're studying now?
I could.
And then you'd have to erase my videotape. Exactly. You?
I'd either erase your videotape or my badge. Give it the choice.
So we'll follow you home tonight and see where you go.
It's safe to say we're always thinking about the next version.
Yeah.
I could say that if you look at some of the books on my shelf, some of the airplanes we might or might not be considering might or might not be featured in some of those books that might or might not be on my shelf.
Yep. when you study a new plane for a new model, what do you do? What's the process the team goes through?
There's a number of steps involved because we have to model an exterior model, a 3D representation. So there's a huge number of photographs that are taken, hundreds and sometimes more than 1,000 photos are taken of the exterior. We have to look artistically at the instrument panel and the cockpit, and so another huge batch of photos taken there. We do sound recordings, so our audio team gets out there, sometimes dangerously close to propellers and freaks us out. Microphones inside the engines, inside the cockpit, outside, you know, the airplanes will fly by. Just about anything you can imagine on the airplane that makes any noise, the sound guys record. Then usually a developer and then somebody from the test side will fly the airplane whenever possible. Sometimes we're relegated to flying training simulators, like what Boeing and other airlines use. But those are the same things that they actually use to train airline pilots. And it's very possible that you've gotten on an airplane and the person flying it had never been in that airplane before that day.
Really?
It was fully signed off by using their simulators. So it's considered a realistic experience. But whenever possible, we go out and we fly the airplane, and we have a prescribed series of maneuvers that we record and try to capture data. We also look for things that are a bit more subjective. How does it feel? Is it a really heavy airplane? Does it have any particular quirks or habits that are really distinctive, in addition to looking at speeds and roll rates and pitch rates and takeoff distances and all these sorts of things? Also, things that we look at are trying to really capture what's the view like from the cockpit. When I'm sitting in the cockpit and I look back to the left or the right, you know, how much of the wing and the engine can I see? Some things we can get from photographs, but works better if you've actually sat there and said, what's really unique about this environment? How do I capture that?
One thing I really enjoyed playing with Flight Sim was being able to zoom in on a control and just see the realistic image of the control and see the dials going around. And
it holds up well even when you're zooming in.
Are we going to get a demo, by the way?
Sure.
Okay.
And that's where our artists, of course, come in, because they will start with photographs and work from those as reference. But the amount of effort that they go through in taking even a nice close-up photograph of a gauge or an instrument or dial, to get from that to something that's usable in Flight Sim and is clean and looks as good as it does, it's an extraordinary process. And or it is after I'm done complaining about it.
Yeah.
So.
And if you want really geeky, you can see the interesting controls. Yeah,
the flight yoke and the little radio stack and rudder pedals down there on the floor.
Cool. Now how much do those cost?
If you work for the richest company in the world, they're free.
Yeah.
Because people just send them to us and say, we would be flattered if you tried our product in your office.
Right.
Now, if you're a real person, this setup with this radio stack and your little box of switches is about $1,000. The yoke, about 200, 250. The rudder pedals, about 400.
Yeah.
So
being a tester on the Flight Sim team does have its advantages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, all told, that right there is about what Steve Lacy makes in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we certainly do love what we work on.
Yeah.
It's
well, it's been coming through in all the interviews we've been seeing around. Well, it's been an honor meeting you, and looking forward to seeing what you really are working on.